Father, as always, I thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word brings light always and gives understanding to the simple. We ask that that light will shine in us, around us, through us, be the lamp indeed to our feet and the light to our path. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, let's just encourage one another today. God is turning captivities and changing stories. You know, God's always in that kind of business, you know, to turn captivities and change stories. So that's what we're going to talk about, just to encourage one another on here this morning. I'm going to start by reading Psalm 126. I'll read through the whole Psalm. I have a few other scriptures to share with us and just encourage one another on here this morning. Praise the Lord. If you believe it, you know, yours might be one of those stories. Just be one of those stories that the Lord is changing. Praise the Lord. Well, here we go with Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them, and the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as it streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Well, I'm going to read that again prophetically as we get into this lesson. You know, so the Lord has done it before. He's going to do it again. He said the Lord turned our captivity once before. And when that happened, we were like them that dream. You know, and then he goes on to make a prayer. He said, at that time, when the Lord turned our captivity, our mouth was filled with laughter. That means each time the Lord turns around our captivity, whatever is holding us back, I call it the negativity of captivity. Whatever is holding us back, the Lord will fill our mouth with laughter. Then also fill your tongue with singing. And people will even look. He said, look, even among the heathen. Well, that's, you know, the world around you, people around you, whether they believe the Lord or not. You know, especially those that don't even believe. He said that they will even acknowledge that the Lord has done great things for us. Hallelujah. The Lord has done great things for them, they shall be saying. People at your work, well, you know, for them to say that, they have to associate you with the Lord. You already have a testimony that you're already talking about, always talking about the Lord. You know, they know that you are not quite like them. You're always talking about the Lord. You're always putting your faith out there, you know. And so one day they're going to say, wow, see what the Lord has done for them. See what the Lord has done for her. See what the Lord has done for him. Glory to God. And then we can say it too. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Now let's look at this prayer. Turn again our captivity, O Lord. You've done it before, but do it again. Ha! Hallelujah. Do it again. You know, streams are going this way. Cause the stream to change direction. Hallelujah. In our favor. Praise the Lord. And here's a prophetic declaration. Your tears of faith will result in a harvesting of joy. Glory to God. When you cry before the Lord in faith, it is going to turn into a harvesting of joy. Glory to God. So I declare it this morning, you know, as you pray, as you, now, precious seed, What's that seed? Well, the seed, the original seed is the Word of God. And when you put your faith in the Word of God, you know, sometimes we have to cry out to the Lord. That's okay. You know, pour out your heart before the Lord. Sammy said it all the time. My distress, I cried unto the Lord. And the Lord heard me out of his holy temple. Hallelujah. You know, so when we pour out our heart to the Lord, mingled with faith based upon his word, you know, that's like bearing precious seed. There is a promise here that you will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing a harvest. Hallelujah. That's right. So those that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now, you sow your tears with faith in God's word. God guarantees a harvesting of joy. Glory to God. So that's our encouragement for you this morning. A few other scriptures, and then we'll say a few things. Again, that the Lord will have us recognize. And why is it necessary for us to encourage one another like this from time to time? You know, as I often said, and as the Lord made me realize, it's a wonder how people go up and down. I mean, we always seem to be going up and down. I don't know why, but it's just like that. You know, you're going up and down. You're really good for some few days, and then all of a sudden, somehow, you're heavy, you're down, heaviness sets in, you know, disappointment sets in, discouragement sets in, you know, whatever, you know, and the devil has a lot of those tools. So that's why we must constantly encourage one another. When we see any hands hanging down, we need to come on in here and say, look, let those hands that hang down be lifted up. You know, any heads that seem to be bowed in shame, you know, let the Lord be the glory and the lifter up of the heads. Praise the Lord. You know, so we always like to come on in here and encourage one another. Now, here's a good encouragement from the Lord in the book of Zephaniah. Now, that's Zephaniah chapter 3. And we're going to read from verses 14 through 20 or through the end. Zephaniah chapter 3. And let's read from about verse 14 and so. Again, prophetically, the Lord is speaking to us. Sing, he said, O daughter of Zion. Shout. And you know, I love it when the Lord, the scriptures say, O daughter of Zion. I mean, there's men there as well. Why always he talks about the daughter of Zion? Well, that's because women especially, they are always so burdened with so many things. And of course, the Lord also looks at Israel as though they were the bride. You know, so, you know, but every time we see this prophetically, there's relief coming to those who are burdened. Women who are burdened, you know, dealing with children, work, husband, family, and so forth. It just seems like it's a lot of pressure on women many times. So pressure on men too. Men have pressure on, you know, supporting their families and all kinds of things like that. You know, and most men, you know, who, you know, have a sense of responsibility, they'll go to any lengths, you know, try to support their family. And when that's not working, that brings depression, you know, and it brings stress. Sing, O daughter of Zion, and shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Why? Well, because the Lord has taken away, you know, the judgments. Cast out thine enemy. Now, your king, the king of Israel, even the Lord, is now in the midst of you. And thou shalt see evil no more. Isn't that wonderful? Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Now, if you believe that, you can say amen for it. You will not see evil anymore. In that day, it shall be said of you, fear thou not. Be said to you again, let not your hands be slack. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will say, and he will rejoice over thee with joy. And you know, we used to sing a song in our verse many years ago in the 70s and 80s. You know, he will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. You know, the Lord himself can rejoice. Do you know that? It's right here in this verse. You know, he will rejoice in saving you. You know, he will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. I mean, what's it that makes the Lord joyful? Well, you know, the Lord said, I rejoice in my power, to bless and to help those who are humble, you know, who are contrite, who love me. There's a song we sing like that. I rejoice in my power because I will help those humble who love me in their hearts, says the Lord. Those will be co-heirs with me. Well, the Lord is even rejoicing to bless his people. He rejoices in his power to do it. Hallelujah. Especially those who are humble and who love the Lord in their hearts. And the word of prophecy says they will be co-heirs with him. So the Lord is always rejoicing to do us good. In fact, even the rebellious house of Israel, the Lord said to them, even as I've thought to do you evil and all of these things, now have I thought to do you good. And I will rejoice over you with joy. And you shall see evil no more. In that day shall be said to Jerusalem. You see? And everywhere we see Jerusalem or Zion or daughter of Zion and all this stuff, just put your name there. Let not your hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love and he will joy over you with singing. And here's a point blank promise for those that are sorrowful and downcast and so forth. I will gather them that are sorrowful. Solemn assembly, those who are of thee in whom there is reproach, the reproach that you are bearing has become a burden. You know, this thing that you have been wanting the Lord to do has become a reproach and it become a burden. You know, but the Lord said, behold, at that time, I will undo all the things that are afflicting you. You know, this area that has been a reproach in your life, the Lord said, I will undo it. Glory to God. And I'll save her that halteth. And I will gather her that was driven out. And I will get them praise. I love this part. The Lord will get you some praise and fame in all the places. Whereas it has been said, you know, one time, you know, the Lord sent an angel to Mary and was telling her, I said, look, even her that was called barren, you know, so people were actually looking at Elizabeth, pointing at her and so forth. And the angel was saying, look, even the one that people look at narrowly like that, the Lord has done it because there is nothing impossible for the Lord. So what is your situation? What is your hurt? What is your pain? What is your reproach? Well, the Lord said, I'll take it away. Hallelujah. All the things that afflict you, I'll take it away. You know, in every place and everywhere that you have been put to shame, the Lord said, I will turn that around. And at that time, I will bring you again. Basically, from the land of captivity. Even in that time will I gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people. And I will turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. That's a point blank promise. Now, what is the thing that's captivity? What does it mean here? Well, it's all the negativity that is preventing us. People are in captivity, cannot thrive. You can't thrive, you know? So it's holding you back. Their rights are stripped. They got chains and burdens and yokes around their necks. They got to put their neck under bondage and so forth, you know, and they can't really thrive, you know. It's almost like, I mean, can they really live a full life? No, because they're in captivity. But the Lord said, I will turn that captivity around. And when I do it, guess what he said? At that time, saith the Lord, then, according to the words of Isaiah 51:11 and 35:10, he said, then the ransomed of the Lord shall return with joy and with singing. That's right. It's time for you to rejoice. It's time for you to sing. Glory to God. The Lord will fill your mouth with laughter. The Lord will fill your hearts with joy and gladness. And we sing this one too. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain. We shall obtain.
We shall obtain.
Gladness and sorrow and mourning shall flee away.
Amen.
Therefore,
the redeemed of the Lord
shall return and come with singing
unto Zion,
and everlasting joy shall be on our heads. Yes, everlasting joy will be upon your head. You will return with singing. You will return with joy. You will return with gladness. In fact, the Lord was so point blank about it. He put it in two different places. Put it in Isaiah 51. Now, this Isaiah man, he was a son of encouragement. I mean, there were many. I love to read Isaiah. In fact, if I'm ever down or anything like that, I go to the book of Isaiah, because he's got, well, most of the time I'm never down, you know, but praise God for that. But if I were, I'd be going to the book of Isaiah, because he's got a lot of things, a lot of lifted up messages. He's the one that say, I will set my face like a flint. I'm not let any of these things bother me, because I know the Lord will help me and I will not be ashamed. He's the one that said, the Lord will help me. You know, I will help thee. Yea, I will strengthen thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. He's the one that has all these things. He's the one that even say, I am the Lord that comforteth you. Who art thou that I should be afraid of a man that should die? The son of man that should be made as grass. He's the one that said all these things. He's a comforter. This man, Isaiah, he loves to speak the word of God to boost the faith of the people. And he said, you will return. The redeemed of the Lord shall return. He said it also in Isaiah 35:10. You will return with joy into singing. And he gave this incredible prophecy in Isaiah 60. Arise and shine. The glory of the Lord is come upon you. The beauty of the Lord and his glory is coming upon you. Isaiah said, speaking for the Lord. You know, these prophets, they spoke in the name of the Lord, in the message of the Lord, for the Lord, to bring encouragement to God's people. And he spoke and said, look, it's time for you to arise. Your time has come to shine. God is turning captivities around, changing stories. I have it on good evidence that that's going to be said throughout this year. Praise the Lord. They're going to be saying, see what the Lord has done for them. You're going to be saying it for yourself, and people are going to be saying it for you. And see what the Lord has done for her. See what the Lord has done for him. Because the Lord turning things around. And he said, when the Lord turned our captivity, we're like them that dreamt. Now let's read Isaiah 61. Let's read the first 7 verses. And this same Isaiah, he's the one that prophesied this about the Christ. But hey, it's about us also. Glory to God. Now, the Spirit of the Lord, he said, is upon me. Now, I love to quote this many times. You know, I psych up myself. I say, well, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to his people, even as it is this day. He has sent me to bind up those who are depressed, who are brokenhearted, who are heavy, you know, and so forth. Proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to them that are bound. You know, that's turning captivity around. Proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. And God is taking vengeance. Say, I will take vengeance upon all that afflict you. I will undo all of it. Thank you, Jesus. I proclaim this. Well, we know some day of vengeance is coming, but I'm using this prophetically to proclaim vengeance against everything that has afflicted you, everything that has put you in shame, everything that has put a burden on you, everything that has made you feel like, well, you know, I can't, you know, do that, you know, and so forth. Every tongue that has spoken against and said, aha, aha, the Lord said, I take vengeance against them. I will comfort all that mourn. I will appoint to them that mourn in Zion. Give them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, there's nothing better than that praise that can blow back that spirit of heaviness, depression and all of that. And when you are in that state, you don't feel like praising the Lord. But I guarantee you, that's the thing that blow that thing back like never before. If you can get, at first it may sound, you may think it's mechanical. Well, I don't feel like, well, mechanical or not, do it. You know, when you begin to praise the Lord, it'll blow back that spirit of heaviness. It's nothing that does it as well as praising the Lord. Blow back that spirit of heaviness. And why does the Lord do all these things? What is his purpose in setting the captives free? What is his purpose in binding up those who are brokenhearted and so forth? What is his purpose in helping to pick up the broken pieces in our lives? Why does he do all these things? Why is he proclaiming that this is the acceptable year? This is the quantum leap year for you. Why is the Lord proclaiming these things? And why is the Lord saying, I'm coming after those that have oppressed you? They even, you know, he said, look, you know, I will contend with those that contend with you. Why is the Lord saying all these things? Well, why is he saying he will give you beautiful ashes? You know, area where, you know, a son of the king, a daughter of the king, especially king of kings, you should never have ashes on your head. But there have been ashes on our heads. There have been shame. There have been, you know, disgrace. There have been this and that. You know, the Lord said, I'm turning those things around. Glory to God. I can see everything turning around. Everything is turning around. Everything is turning around for my good. Are things turning around? Absolutely. I can see it in the spirit. Things are turning around for you. But why does the Lord do all these things? Why does he give you beautiful ashes? Why is he anointing your head with the oil of gladness in place of mourning? Why is he giving you the garment of praise to blow back that spirit of heaviness? Why is he doing it? In order that you might be called trees of righteousness. That you might be called the planting of the Lord. And ultimately, that he, the Lord, might be glorified. That's it. That's how he does it. And that's why he does it. And listen to this. And they shall build the old waste places. Now, things that have laid in ruins, that's restoration. That's recovery. Hallelujah. You know, raise up even desolations. Areas where the devil has put his hand. You know, the devil is the one that comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. The Lord said, you will raise up those desolations again. Repair the broken down walls and cities and generations and so forth. Even strangers. Now, here's a blessing. Now, here's something that God is turning around. Now, many of God's children have not experienced things like this. You know, Solomon said, well, I have seen a great evil upon the earth. You know, that princes should be walking on foot, you know, while servants are riding in chariots. But Lord, no, no, no. All that travesty of justice, God's turning it around. You will be the one riding in the chariots. But that's where you belong. and strangers will stand and feed your flocks. Sons of the alien. Well, they are aliens. We are not. We are of the commonwealth of the house of faith. All the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you, on the other hand, will be named the priests of the Lord. People shall call you the ministers of our God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. You shall glory, you know, boast yourself even in their glory. Now, the strategy to do that, and in the days coming, we'll bring, if the Lord allows it, some strategy for you to get hidden riches of secret places, to get treasures of darkness, merchandise of Ethiopia, and all these things, men of Sabians, of stature, coming over into you in chains. Well, you know, we need strategy, we need instruction. But there's a time coming, and now is that God's turning the tables in your favor. Praise the Lord. Now, for your shame, though, you will have double. And for the confusion, you will now rejoice in your own portion. You will possess the double, the Lord said. Well, so double of everything. What is it you want? Lord, give you double. Hallelujah. For I, the Lord, love judgment, and I hate robbery and all these things. You know, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Your seed shall be known among the unbelievers. You know, every time I talk about Gentiles. And even your offspring will be known among the people. That's your children. They'll be mighty in the land. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed that the Lord has blessed. Isn't that wonderful? People that see you, now I'm claiming this for my children. You know, all of my children will be great. They're great already, but they'll be even greater. They will receive double for their trouble. Hallelujah. And finally, he said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. I thought I would just read the whole chapter. He hath covered me with robe of righteousness. And as a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, you know, and as a bride adorned herself with jewels, even so has the Lord adorned me with his favor. Glory to God. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are planted in it to spring forth, so will the Lord cause righteousness and praise and glory and blessings to spring forth before all nations. A powerful, powerful prophecy. Praise the Lord. Now, how do we relate all these things to ourselves? Look. You know, we have a responsibility. And let me put it to you prophetically this way. The Lord has put a tablet in front of you and a pen of fire in your hands. Write your own story. Rewrite. And the Lord said, no, rewrite your story. Praise God. Well, you know, we can change directions and the course of things, even the course of nature. By the word of God, we can shape our future with the word. You can shape your day. You start out the day. I love to say this. You start out the day by commanding the womb of the morning. That's right. You don't leave anything to chance. Praise God. You know, you just believe the word of God. You use the word of God. Command the blessing into your day. To command that the lines fall unto you in pleasant places. To command the beauty of holiness. Don't take anything for granted. Or take anything, leave anything to chance. Why would you? You know, the devil is working over time, you know, trying to do all of these things. And the scripture says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Hallelujah. In the beauties of holiness, Psalm 110 and verse 3. From the womb of the morning. That's when you can command the dew of thy youth. In the womb of the morning, get up in the morning, command the day to behave itself. Praise God. Let these things line up and behave. Jesus said the day was made for man and not the other way around. So every day is a new day. When you get up and say, this is a new day. It's a brand new day that the Lord has made. Now, let the day be subject. Hallelujah. Because that's what the Lord said. The day was created for you and not the other way around. You know, so we command the day, command everything that's in you, command your hands, command your feet, command everything to praise the Lord. Command the things around you also, because the Lord has given us the ability, you know, to subdue all things. That's what he said in the beginning. And we're coming right back to that. God has put all things, you know, under our feet. Well, it's not quite there yet, but we have to begin to enforce it. The day was made for us and not the other way around. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Jesus said, whether it is Sabbath or any other day, you know, it's made for man, not the other way around. You can read that in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. This was when they were accusing Jesus and his disciples of doing that, which was unlawful on the Sabbath day. Because Jesus' disciples went through, he and his disciples were passing through some cornfields. And, you know, the disciples stopped and plucked corn as they went along. Jesus didn't pluck corn himself. It was his disciples that did it, but he didn't stop them either. And Jesus didn't think and he said, oh, this is a Sabbath day, you shouldn't do that. But the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they challenged them for doing that. And Jesus told the story of David, how he went into the house of God and did that which was unlawful. That's right. And he said, look, you know, therefore is a Sabbath made for man. Sabbath, any day for that matter. You know, some people will bend over backwards today to keep the Sabbath in the religious systems that the way that the Jews used to do. But Jesus didn't care about any of those things. He went ahead doing every single day was the same. In fact, Jesus said, you know, because they said, well, you know, even when he went to the temple, it's a little bit of digression here, but we might learn something from it. Even when he went to the temple and he would heal on the Sabbath day, they would challenge him, you know, and say, well, why are you doing these things on the Sabbath day? And, you know, those religious people, they never cared about the welfare of the people. They were more concerned about keeping their dogmas. They'd say to the people, look, you have other days of the week to be healed, not on the Sabbath day. Come and be healed on those days. Don't be healed on the Sabbath day. Can you imagine the wickedness of their hearts? And Jesus will say to them, let's read this story. I just felt I'd digress a little bit. There's a story in John chapter 5. You know, the man that was born blind for many, many years, 40 years now, that Jesus would heal, turned out to be on a Sabbath day. And Jesus wasn't worried about Sabbath day or no Sabbath day. He went about doing good. It was time to heal somebody, and it's time to heal somebody. You know, I mean, that was John chapter 9, by the way. But in John chapter 5 is the man that was, you know, in the impotent man by the pool, you know, that the angel, you know, was coming to stir up the pool. So John chapter 5 is the impotent man. John chapter 9 is the one that, you know, that is the man born blind. But let's talk about John chapter 5. That's the one I meant. You know, they said the man, well, you know, all the things that Jesus did, it seemed like Jesus was always doing something good on the Sabbath day. You know, the woman who was bent over, said, woman, you are loose. The man who had the drawn hand, he said, well, stretch forth your hand. The one who was, you know, in this particular place, 38 years of infirmity, you know, and then they saw the man, you know, and they said, look, it's not good for you to take your bed up and walk on the Sabbath day. Because he was lying on his bed, and when Jesus healed him, he took up his bed and walked. And taking up your bed is doing work. You can't do any labor. You cannot carry your bed on the Sabbath day, they said. Well, and Jesus said, look. So they accused Jesus. They accused him. They cursed everybody. And they said, look, why are you doing these things on the Sabbath day? You can read John chapter 5 and verse 16. They began to persecute Jesus. They sought to kill him just because he did some good work on the Sabbath day. Can you imagine? And here's what Jesus said. My Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. What does that mean? It means my Father is not observing any Sabbath day. My Father is not taking a break on Sabbath day. What the Father shows me, I do. And so if the Father is doing something on his Sabbath day, I'm doing the same. my Father never stopped walking. He doesn't take a break just because it's Sabbath day. Every day is the same to him. And as long as he's doing something, I'm doing the same. And he went on to tell them, look, the Son can do nothing of himself. What he sees the Father do, that he does. If he sees the Father do something on Sabbath day, so it is. Praise God. So, why do I say all of that? I say that to say this, that the day is subject to us. Whatever day it is, Sabbath or not, is subject to us. And God wants us to flourish. God is turning stories around. God is changing lives. And God is also even giving you the power to rewrite your own story. Whether it is personal or relational, you can rewrite those stories. Hallelujah. People can even rewrite relational stories. Spirit of Elijah is present. Turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, children to the fathers. You can rewrite those stories. And I've often told people, get your hand or your finger off that rewind button. But if you are going to rewind it at all, rewind it one time. And erase it and rewrite, re-record over it new memories. That's right. New memories. You don't need to stay in the old memories, of how devil has pummeled you and so forth, and how things have not gone well. You can rewrite new memories. You take charge. Praise God. Hallelujah. Take charge. God, the Lord, I put these things in your hands. And behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Luke 10 and 19. And I have power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, Jesus acknowledged that the devil had power. So you better do the same. We acknowledge that the devil has power, but his power is less, or the power that God has given us is more and higher. Praise God. The devil may have power, but, the power that he has, when we have knowledge, we have understanding, then we've got the victory to be loosed from under the power of that devil. So, today, I want you to rejoice and shout for joy. Just a little lesson today for us to rejoice and just shout for joy and know that God is himself is rejoicing over you with joy. And we sing it. The Lord himself rejoices in your deliverance. The Lord said, look, I have set you free. And I don't want you to be bondmen anymore. I don't want you to be in yoke. And I've seen your tears. I've seen all these things. I'm going to turn them around to joy. Praise the Lord. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our brief exhortation for today. Praise the Lord. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 26 and 13, which brought you forth from the land of Egypt. you should not be bondmen anymore. Broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go even upright. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray over the room. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, because you have given us the victory. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord God, our glory and the lifter up of our head. I come against the spirit of depression and heaviness. The Lord said, I'm the one that can break that. Hallelujah. Heal even the brokenhearted. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord can break that spirit of heaviness by giving you a garment of praise. And the Lord promises that your tears of faith will be rewarded with a harvesting of joy. I pray, Lord, a rewriting of stories in here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. And the people of God will see, feel and know that they are free. I feel like the morning star. The song we used to sing like that. I feel like the morning star. Satan, don't bother me. Hallelujah. I feel like the morning star. Glory to God. I feel like the morning star. I feel I am free. I am free. I am set at liberty. The Bible says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, when the Lord turns your captivity, you'll be like those that dream. It'll be like a dream, but it's a reality. It's not a dream. You know, the Lord has turned your captivity for real. It's like turning the streams in the south. The streams going this way, the Lord turned it a different way. And there is a stream now. Pouring, you know, plowing through, blowing through the house of God. It's a river, he says. The streams whereof make glad the house of God. The Lord bless, encourage everyone. Cause your head to be lifted up. Your head will not be bowed down. And areas where there have been shame or disgrace or what have you in the past, God is turning that around. I cover that with the blood of Jesus. Huh? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The blood of covering over those areas. And my people shall never be ashamed. Hallelujah. And for the past shame or the past reproach, the Lord said, you shall have the double. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, you've heard your, we've declared your word back to you today. That's right. And that's what you do. That's how you do it. You declare God's word back to him. You challenge him by his word. And Lord, we declare your word back to you today in that you said that those sowing tears shall reap in joy. And Lord, behold the tears of faith that your people have cried. He said, the psalmist said, my tears have been my companion all night long. I'm swimming in my tears. When the people are saying, where is their God? And so forth. I said, well, but the Lord, you know, he will never fail his people. He will show up. But when he shows up, will you still be at a point of faith? Will you still be believing? Now, let's believe the Lord together this morning. Praise God. Now, if the Lord is lifting you up and causing you to rewrite those stories and bringing you out of the dunghill, causing you to get out of the valley and putting you on the mountaintop, stay there. Hallelujah. I'll tell you how people get, you know, quickly down from the top. Pride will bring you down from the top. And fear will keep you in the valley. That's right. But we need to get rid of the fear and we need to get rid of the pride. But when the Lord lifts us up, be sure and acknowledge the goodness of the Lord. It is the Lord. Hallelujah. That's doing these things. God is your glory and the lifter up of your head. He's the one that is doing it. And may the Lord change your story. The Lord's changing it already. May you experience a change of story this year, time and time again, even in the future. When things are going in the wrong direction, the Lord steps in, and you, by faith also, hearing words such as these, you are encouraged to believe God, step in also, and speak the words of God back to Him that will cause the situation to change around. God's way is in the whirlwind, and He is turning things in your favor. Thank you, Lord, for your people. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.